Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is the full show from today's episode of Undisputed from start to finish. We've got a busy slate, so skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
Since starting the season 3-0, the Cowboys have lost four of their last six games and are currently tied with the Eagles atop the NFC East. Following the home loss to the Vikings, Jerry Jones said, quote, "We'll have to pay for this one. Hopefully it won't be terminal." Jerry also said that he knows Philadelphia is coming. So, Skip, have you given up on the Cowboys making the playoffs? Is that where we're at?
I have not given up.
You should.
The Dallas Cowboys are still in first place.
No, they're not. We're tied.
Still in first. Tiebreaker goes to the team that crushed the other team.
Okay.
My team crushed the Eagles. Your Eagles.
Temporarily.
My team is a 4.5-point favorite at Detroit this coming Sunday. And your team, the Eagles, is a 3.5-point dog at home to New England.
Okay. That's
hard. Coming off a bye week, New England.
That's hard.
Right?
We coming off a bye, too.
I don't even think that matters.
Yeah, it
does. That might be a disadvantage to you. So, yesterday, I was the first to admit my team is in trouble. I no longer love their playoff chances because clearly the remaining schedule favors the Eagles. Theirs is far easier than the Dallas Cowboys' remaining schedule. And I was the first to admit yesterday I overrated my defense, which cannot stop the run. It cannot consistently rush the passer. And it cannot force timely turnovers. It doesn't force any turnovers, but let alone timely. And that defense all too often just comes out flat in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Without fire, without urgency, without focus. I don't know why. I blame Jason Garrett, but it consistently happens. And I way overrated what to expect from my running game because I way overrated Ezekiel Elliott, who just is not himself anymore. He's lost his burst. He's lost his breakaway speed. He's lost his ability to make you miss at all. He's lost his nuclear capability. And his offensive line all too often gets its overpaid tails whipped at the line of scrimmage. So all that is negative, negative, negative. But I still got a quarterback. And he's a top 10 quarterback.
No, he's not. Stop saying
and
that.
He's got a top one connection with a wide receiver who's a top 10 receiver in Amari Cooper.
Okay.
They have an extraordinary rapport and wavelength. And when I have that, I've got a shot, which brings me to the NFC. What did we see last night? We saw the undefeated 49ers lose at home. I looked back at the end of the night and looked at the vast expanse of the NFC, and it's still wide open. What have we seen so far, Mr. Sharp? We saw San Francisco lose at home to a Seattle that, as we just talked about in the previous topic, has lost at home twice to Lamar Jackson, but also to Teddy Bridgewater, who was up 33-14 with 3 minutes left in that game. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw Green Bay, a team you love, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, get demolished at Chargers, 26-11. 11?
Mm-hmm.
How do you score just 11? I don't know. It just sounds weird to me.
Is 11 more than 10?
And by the way, Green Bay lost at home to the Eagles, which brings me to the Saints. They just lost at home to Atlanta. Atlanta, 26-9. It wasn't even close.
Yes.
26-9, Atlanta terrorized Drew Brees in his house.
Yes, they did.
Which brings me to the Vikings. They lost at Chicago 16-6, and they lost to Matt Moore at Kansas City. They played really well on Sunday night in Dallas, but again, if fate intervened, if Dallas gets to play Minnesota, I know it's a billion-to-one shot, but if Dallas gets to play Minnesota in the playoffs, seriously, from my heart, from my soul, would I be afraid of Minnesota? I would not be afraid. And I believe my team would have won that game if on 2nd and 2 at the 11, they had said, let Dak throw it to a receiver or a tight end. On 2nd, 3rd, and 4th down, we would have won that game. So, that brings me to my Dallas Cowboys. What do they have remaining? They have they got two games in a row on the road. So they go at Detroit.
Loss.
And at New England.
Loss.
I believe they can win at Detroit. So guess what? Here's the last five games of that schedule. They get the Bills at home on Thanksgiving. I believe they can win that game. At Chicago, I believe now they can win that game. I wasn't sure before the year, but I believe now they can. The Rams come to Jerry World. We owe the Rams for the playoffs.
No, y'all are for
the Rams are also 5-4. Do the Rams look invincible to you?
You don't either.
Well, I don't know, but I think we could win that game. We always play well at Philadelphia. Always. We won there last year. We've won there a bunch of times in the historical past. So my team does not fear playing at Philadelphia, and I wouldn't love, but I would like my chances there. And then the Redskins have to come to Jerry World to close it out. Now, your schedule to close is pretty easy after the first two games.
First two.
But the first two, New England at home and Seattle at home, I'm not sure those are exactly
win-win.
What if you lose both those games?
What if we win both of them?
Okay, I'll take New England for three cases right now. You do it?
Three.
We got until Friday.
Okay.
I'm just going to build it up.
But again, if you happen to lose those two games, and you just told me Russell Wilson's the MVP, I kind of like the MVP at Philly.
Oh, no, he's not. Yeah. Lamar Jackson is. That's what you told
me. But then to close, it gets really easy because it's at Miami, and then they get the Giants twice, obviously home away, at Washington. There is that little game stuck second to last against Dallas.
But my point is,
That schedule is far easier unless they lost their first two games. And don't let my team win at Detroit and then lose at New England and then finish with five straight wins, because that would add up to 11-5. If you lose the next two, you're going to finish 10-6. So, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Does that mean one of those two teams? Oh, that would mean Dallas gets in the playoffs.
First of all, you're not going to skip. Nothing has changed in my mind because I told you at the beginning of the season, you guys were not going to make the playoffs. Mm. You said that's the most outlandish. That might be the most foolish thing you've said since we've been on this show 3 years. That's what you told me.
I did.
I don't look so foolish and I do.
Nope, you don't.
Exactly.
I agree. Is it over?
It's over for you.
Remember last year, my team was 3-5. And you were just hoo-hawing over there.
You see?
Right?
This is what happens to you. This is what happens to you and Cowboys and Jerry. And Cowboys fans, we were 3-5 last year. At least this year we're 5-4. Last year was last year. This is this year. Skip, you know what? See, here's the problem. There are two things I don't trust about the Cowboys. Dak Prescott and the coaching staff. Mm. Because there have been six games in which you've scored 3 points or less in the first quarter. You're 2-4 in those games. Mm-hmm. And you know who those wins come against? The Giants in Washington. Mm. What are the likelihood they make the playoffs? Not very good. Thank you very much.
You're right. Yep. Is it over?
No, it's over for you.
Oh, really?
Everything but the crying.
Okay.
Everything but the crying. And you know, matter of fact, I forgot this for you already. I knew you were going to start crying.
Nice
I have a fitness over here because I knew what was going to happen.
I cry all the time.
Yeah, Skip, this is going to hurt.
I got my own.
Skip, this is going to hurt. You know why it's going to hurt? Because it started out with so much promise. Mm. It started,
expectations.
Yeah, you know, with the relationship, you every day with the person. Yeah. You hold a hand, y'all going to the movies, you're taking trips around the world. And then all of a sudden, one of the parties says, you know what? I got to stop and get off the train. Mm. Oh, I can't believe you did that to me. Somebody's crying. Mm. And that's what happened to you. Oh, they were 3-0.
You speak from experience?
I ain't speaking from nothing. I'm speaking from a position of power. I'm speaking from the catbird seat.
But you sound like you're speaking from the heart.
How dare
you do that to me after I took you around the world?
They already know. Shadow took him to In-N-Out or something like that. And you go around the world.
You're not going to In-N-Out.
Shadow ain't been nowhere. But anyway, Skip, you know what? I love this. I love this, Skip, because I told you. I said, there are two teams coming out of the North, and there's two teams coming out of the West.
I agree.
So only one team is coming out of the East.
Correct.
And they're going to be.
You are so right.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Skip, and see, the bye came at a perfect time because you're going to get Jason Peters' help. Mm-hmm. Brooks just signed a contract extension.
He got a big one.
That Achilles is healed up. They didn't even expect them back to this point.
Wow.
And he came back early, so I like Skip. You know what? Jordan Matthews can't play anywhere else but in Philly.
Really?
He has a great rapport with Walker Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch, he's going to come up big on Sunday.
Well, I know where he could play in college, at Vanderbilt University, that pro pipeline that is Vanderbilt. There it is again. There's another Vandy kid.
This is what we know about the Cowboys. They are the greatest of all the professional sports teams, they are the greatest front runners in all of pro sports. Oh. Because you saw what they did against Philly. Mm. They jump out to a 14-0 lead, and all of a sudden they're walking around and prancing Jenny like a mule with a hat on. Mm. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you can admit, you can imagine that what it sounds like, because I've seen a mule in a hat.
What they did last year, you call that front running when you go from 3-5 to the division title? Is that front running?
No.
That's like running from behind.
Skip. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. When they get the lead, you saw what they did against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They jump out 14-0 and guys doing handstands and D-Ware and Robert Quinn, he riding the rodeo, he riding, and D-Law and Wolf Hunter howling, all that.
Who won that game?
I ain't seen, what I see Sunday? Mm. I ain't seen nobody riding the Cowboy. Mm. I ain't seen no genuine song being played. Let's rock. All I heard was Paula Cole. Where have all the Cowboys gone?
You listen to that?
Yeah, I love Paula Cole. Mm. Yeah. Where they gone, Skip?
I don't know.
It's over. Yeah. It's over for you. I told you from day one. And it's going to hurt even more because you got it. So, the season started with so much promise. Mm-hmm. But I told you you were playing.
You're right.
Really not very good teams.
Yeah. Not just a bunch of junk we played early on. A bunch of junk. Yeah, I agree. You got me. It's over. And are they going to throw the parade? They had a bye week. Did they throw the parade?
No. No.
Little ticker tape? Nope.
Don't worry about what we got going on. Yep. You worry about your team.
Mm. If I were you, I'd be worried about your team this coming Sunday because here come Brady and Belichick.
Win.
How many cases?
All I do is win, no matter what.
How many? Three? Two? I'll do one. If you want to just be chicken and do one, I'll do one. I'll take New England coming off a bye.
Skip, I've been busting you up. Yeah, I've been busting you up lately.
And by the way, have you already just jumped right off the Russell Wilson bandwagon? Because after you just anointed him to open this show, you don't think he can win at Philly?
Hold on. Skip.
Come on.
That's not
he just won at San Francisco.
That's not what I said.
Higher degree of difficulty at San Francisco or at Philadelphia?
Okay.
Philadelphia lost at home to Detroit. Philadelphia lost at Atlanta.
And
Philadelphia got dominated at Dallas.
And all of those losses, nothing is more crushing than losing to the Jets.
Mm. You
that
got me.
Gonna be hard
you are right. I completely agree. It's over, says you. The schedule says it's just getting started.
Hold on.
Right?
We coming off the bye. We got New England, Seattle. Win.
Okay.
Dolphins.
Show me invincible in the NFC, Mr. Sharp. Show me one team where you say nobody can beat that team. Show me one.
I tell you what I can do. I can show you a team that's not going to make the playoffs. Mm. Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Show me an invincible.
Washington.
Show me.
Huh?
Show me invincible. Help me out. I just went down the list.
Skip.
Green Bay?
Skip.
Minnesota?
Skip.
San Francisco? Seattle? Give me one. New Orleans?
There is no such thing
as
invincible.
I'm looking for invincible.
There is no such
thing. I'm looking for game over.
Okay, well, hello. Show me an invincible team in the AFC.
Huh. The Cowboys don't play in the AFC.
But that's my point,
AFC.
Skip. There is no invincibility in the NFL. The teams are, on a given Sunday, anything can happen on given Monday or Thursday, whenever they play. Mm. Anything can happen. Mm. But I feel very comfortable from where I'm standing. Mm. I'm in the catbird seat.
You are. I agree. And it ain't over.
It's over for you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not over for us.
Well,
we try to get one of them.
Three, four, five, six, seven games left. That's a lot of games.
We 5-2.
Huh.
It is locked. Yeah.
7 out of 16.
I think you know what, Skip? You know what I'm thinking?
Huh.
I'm thinking we're going to be 6-1 or 7-0 in those games.
7-0?
6-1.
I'll bet you 10 cases you won't be 7-0.
6-1. 7-0.
Yep.
6-1.
Would you take it?
I tell you what, we're going to win.
7-0 for seven cases.
No.
7, 6, 5.
We will win the division.
Four?
You want another three cases? We win the division and you guys don't?
No.
Why not?
Because you're in the catbird seat.
You got that.
No,
right.
You won't put your due where your mouth is.
I'm trying to figure out.
Here come New England and Seattle.
Skip, you got the guy with the number one QBR.
New England and Seattle. I'll bet you 10 cases you don't go 2-0 in those games. Come on.
Skip,
have some guts. Yeah. Courage of your conviction.
We're going to pick this game.
Back up all your trash talk.
We're going to pick this game.
You're talking big and bad, but you won't back it up.
Because walking to, I'm going to back it up.
Because you're still running scared.
No. Yeah. I'm thinking after next week, not this week, after next week, we'll be in the front. You'll be in the back.
Okay.
How you like that, Skip?
Good luck. I like my position right now.
No, you don't like your position, Skip.
I do. like you
I'd rather be the underdog.
First of all, you had a two-game lead.
I like my team.
Skip, you had a two-game lead.
Yeah, I was 3-5 last year. My quarterback said, "Watch."
I didn't know I could take such joy in the Cowboys' struggles. I don't know who I am.
I like it.
Everybody does. That's okay. I don't take joy.
Who am I?
I don't take joy in the Cowboys losing. I don't take no pleasure in that.
Stop it.
First of all, you cost me Christmas ornaments. So don't talk about I take pride in that.
Not even
you
cost invited me Christmas ornaments.
You would sell your soul for a Christmas ornament?
No, you cost me Christmas ornaments. I was getting big, I'm talking about big ones. This big.
You know what? I get nothing from the Cowboys.
You should send
nothing.
You should get something.
All the holiday gifts.
Well, you get nothing. Now we're even. Because I get nothing. Okay. Thanks to you. No mercy.
Russell Wilson continued his MVP campaign last night, handing the 49ers their first loss of the season. Wilson has 23 passing touchdowns to just 2 picks on the season, and he has another 3 TDs on the ground. Lamar Jackson made his own MVP statement this weekend with his second perfect passer rating of the season. Lamar has been efficient as a passer and also has over 700 yards on the ground, which is the 11th most in the league. Wow, we're now joined by Super Bowl champ and college football analyst Reggie Bush. It is a lot to digest.
It's a lot to digest.
So right now, Reggie, who is your MVP? Are you going to go with Russell or Lamar?
Well, I think after watching last night's Monday Night Football game, I think Russell won up Lamar Jackson again, because I think before Russell played that game, I was all in on Lamar Jackson, just what he's been able to do this season. And it kind of also depends on what's the criteria that we're basing this MVP race on, because the conventional criteria is going to tell you, well, Russell's the MVP. But Lamar Jackson is really challenging the narrative as to what we've all kind of grown to, you know, when we watch quarterbacks like the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, Peyton Manning's, the pocket passer quarterbacks who can put up yards and touchdowns through the air. Well, Lamar Jackson is challenging that right now. And, you know, I struggle with that. I go back and forth because, again, before Russell played last night, I was all in Lamar. Yeah. Now seeing Russell come back once again, right, it just feels like whenever you watch Russell, no matter what, no matter how much they're down by, no matter what the situation is, he's going to find a way to get his team back in the position to win the football game. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to take that into account. You can't discount that, because that's so valuable and so important. He's out there doing it with just guys. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making guys great players, and that's the sign of an MVP candidate. When you elevate the play of the guys around you, right? They don't have a dominant receiver.
No.
Sure. They don't even have
Tyler Lockett's pretty good.
But he
Tyler
got Lockett hurt last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Russell still won the game without him, right? And so Josh Gordon enters 2 or 3 big third down conversions. So that's a sign of a great quarterback and an MVP candidate when you can elevate the play of anybody around you, no matter who they are. And I still think Lamar Jackson is getting there. He's not quite there, not quite there yet.
See, I thought he had. I had given, even after watching Lamar on Sunday, I still thought Russ had a slight lead. And I think he increased it slightly because what he did on the road. Now, remember now, the New England Patriots signed Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. They're trying to lure Gronk. There's a report came out that Mr. Kraft won't rob Gronkowski to come back from the playoffs. 2 guys that was on Russell on the Seattle Seahawks last night that were out there making plays that the Patriots say, even though we need wide receivers, we don't need, and tight ends, we don't want you guys, Hollister and Gordon. Mm-hmm. Now, the guys that the Patriots, now they signed AB, they don't have depth at wide receiver. Josh Gordon, they're like, whew, Josh Gordon, man. Yeah.
Well, wait a second. The great Shannon Sharp told me that Josh Gordon can't run anymore. Hey. It's like he has a piano on his back. It looked, said Shannon
it
Sharp.
Looked like to me last right? night, they said, Josh, run the slant. He had 2. He had 1 route to run. They put him on the left. He ran a slant. They put him on the right. He ran a slant.
And at one point on a crucial down, he was in trips right, and they called timeout and took him out of the game because I think he didn't know what to do.
Probably right. That's understandable. But Skip, when you look at this in these 1-score games, he's 7-1 in 1-score games with 21 touchdowns, 1 interception. Oof. And he keeps doing it. He keeps finding ways to win with a high completion percentage. His QBR is still in the top 5. You said he's 3 now. Mahomes is number 2. Dak is number 1. And so when you look at all that, what he's doing, Skip, and that's the thing is the hardest thing for a defensive guy. Skip, when you go to the line of scrimmage, the defensive coordinator called a play based on what he thinks you're running, based on all the information, the data that they've accumulated over the time they watched you play. D&D, area of the field, position of where the ball is spotted. Okay, what Russell is most dangerous when that play is covered and it breaks down? And he's off script.
Yeah.
Because you have no idea. Because he can run it and get you 30 yards like we saw last night. Yep. Or he can run around by time and throw it to the guy and pick up a first down on 3rd and 16. Mm. That's what makes him so dangerous. Also what makes Lamar Jackson so dangerous. But I think Lamar is close.
Yeah, really
Skip,
close.
Skip, I think the thing is, once Cam really won the MVP with his style of play, that wisdom that only a pocket passer can win the MVP, Skip, that was done away with. Yeah. And I think now you're going to see more of these guys get consideration. Maybe there's a time down the road that even Kyler Murray, if he can get an offensive line, to support him. Mm-hmm. But Lamar Jackson, I got Russ 1, Lamar Jackson 2 right now in my MVP voting.
Mm. Man, I must have watched the wrong game last night. I don't know. You know what? I took a bite of one of Chef Shea's brownies that he cooked up, and I must have hallucinated what I saw last night on TV.
He's like, put some in there.
He's got the special ingredients.
But see, what I told Dion is that you eat these and stay grounded. When you get up in there 30,000 feet, your elevation.
You got to stay away.
Panic attack.
That doesn't go well.
Wow. Panic
attack. Lesson learned.
You know what? I'm just thankful I didn't have a panic attack watching this game last night, because man, I was seeing something else. I saw MVP runaway Russell Wilson. I saw him last night struggle throughout the game, especially in the first four quarters. He threw for a grand total of 155 yards, and with 12-12 left in the football game, and they're up commanding 21-10, so this wasn't a comeback special by Russell. He's up 21-10. Could we see what happened on that play? Because he drops back to pass on second down from his 35.
Yep.
And you got to protect the football. Russ, this they play, just took it right out of your hand.
This play was crazy, by the way.
This is crazy, because now your offensive lineman has it. He gets stripped.
Yeah.
And
well, he took it from Russ.
Nice. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Scott, look at that. Okay. Why is he trying to run?
Because the ball was loose. Yeah. The ball was loose.
Just fall on it.
But I'm saying.
He tried to run with the ball. Yeah. What you doing?
Help me out. Was that an MVP play?
No, because
it allowed them to score and two-point conversion. Right. And all of a sudden, it's 21-18.
Correct.
And then help me out. This was not the comeback king in overtime. First drive of overtime, he drives him down, and it's like 2nd and 5 from the 14-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
There goes the scoop and score, DeForest Buckner. Here's the interception.
Yep.
He throws that to a rookie 5th-round pick out of Arkansas. It's a terrible underthrow. It's a cardinal sin interception.
Yeah.
If Dak Prescott throws that interception, I would hear about it for the next 3 years on this show. It would be the first topic of the day for 3 straight years. Dak blew the game at San Francisco with an overtime interception.
But Skip, if you watch this play, he baited him. He looked like 57, looked like he was going to drive on the swing route to the back, and then he backed up out of it.
Is that an MVP play?
Skip,
that ball got returned 47 yards, and it led to what should have been the game-winning field goal for the 49ers.
But
the substitute kicker signed off the street this week to replace Robbie Gould, gets out there after he made one, and he just gagged it. And he hit, if Reggie plays golf, it was the biggest duck hook, snap hook you've ever seen. Like closed face, you know, just come straight left. It was left off his foot, right?
Yeah. Not good.
Didn't have a chance.
It had no chance.
Okay, but that it could have been the end of Russell Wilson's MVP candidacy if that ball goes through the upright.
Well, there was also a couple things that happened in that game. One, great job by Seattle's offense to get back and stop that from being a touchdown, because that could have been a game winning touchdown.
Right.
But also, you know, I think when we look at the criteria, if you factor in the games won, right, like we're talking about how Russell Wilson comes back time and time again against teams that win football games, well, you also got to factor in that Lamar Jackson beat Russell Wilson head-to-head.
At Russell's house.
Mm-hmm. Also beat Tom Brady head-to-head
and
at his house.
Outwitted, I thought, Coach Belichick.
Yeah, and so that's why I say I feel the times are changing, because more and more quarterbacks look like Russell Wilson and look like Lamar Jackson, right? And that's something that we can be proud of as well. But when you look at the criteria of the games, he's been able to go into some of the toughest places to play and beat
He just beat
the
undefeated team on the road.
Yeah.
Just did that.
Okay, but Jimmy G didn't have his. He didn't have Kittle, and he finally didn't have Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, Jimmy G needs to hold on to the football.
Well, he does.
He needs to do a better job.
It was a sloppy game.
He needs to do a better job because I know that was driving his head coach. Because I know his head coach.
Oh yeah.
I played for his dad, Mike Shanahan, and turnovers would drive him crazy, especially Skip when you're in the. You got the game. You're commanding the game. The game is totally in your control. Mm-hmm. And from the time he fumbled that ball and Jadeveon Clowney scooped it and scored, the game totally changed.
It did.
And then all of a sudden he fumbles again and he throws another horrible pick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude.
I want to remind everyone, Coach Belichick picked that guy to replace Tom Brady 2 years ago.
Well, he tried to. He
didn't go. Not going to forget around here.
Okay, what about this is something that I think is also getting overshadowed, obviously, because of the great play we've seen on the field. But what about the poor clock management at the end of the game by the 49ers?
Oh, yeah, you got to run that ball. You got to run
the football.
Run it one time.
One
and
time.
You can pop it out. Because you almost lost the game in regulation.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's on your young
throw. They got the ball. So Russell had the ball, turned it over with 1:50 on the clock.
Right.
They got it back with 1:30 on the clock. Like, you only took 20 seconds off the clock.
Not with the way Jimmy G was playing.
Yeah. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure, my boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me. Or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
No mercy. Joe Burrow and second-ranked LSU did what hadn't been done since 2015, and that is win a game in Tuscaloosa against Nick Saban and Alabama. The Tigers put it on Bama early and took a 33-13 lead into halftime. Burrow had just under 400 yards with only 8 incompletions and 3 touchdowns. Tua Tagovailoa tried, but he just wasn't able to lead a comeback in the second half, despite having over 400 yards in the game. Alabama was ranked third before the loss, and the updated college football playoff rankings are released tonight. So, Reggie, what did this game tell you?
Well, it told me what I already assumed, and it's LSU is the number one team in the nation, and it's Joe Burrow's Heisman to lose at this point. He has showed up time and time again on the biggest stages in the biggest games when they've needed them most. They beat Florida. They beat Auburn. Mm-hmm. They went into Texas, beat Texas. They have had the most impressive wins. When you talk about strength of schedule, right, we're talking about the college football playoffs. Nobody has done it better than LSU. And then you go into Alabama and you beat Alabama when you haven't beaten them in I don't know how many years. One, I'm happy for Coach O because he recruited me to USC. And the reason why I went there is a huge deal for him. Mm-hmm. But also, at the same time, just for LSU fans, for people in New Orleans, like I know how much this win means for them. This is a big-time win for them. And, again, it just proved what I already kind of thought. You know, we had ranked Joe Burrow as a number one Heisman contender, and I think that was his Heisman game. I think that was his statement game. So I think he pretty much won the Heisman already.
Yeah.
For me, Skip, we looked at Alabama, and I knew this was not the type of defensive team that they've had in years past. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, guys keep leaving, going to the NFL early. That catches up with you. And then two of your best players, you lose them before the season with knee injuries. And so that sets you behind the eight ball. I think they're starting four true freshmen. Yeah. And that finally caught up with him. Skip, but if you look at teams that have beaten Coach Saban, you look at the teams that have beaten him. Johnny Manziel, he won the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton, he won the Heisman.
Wow.
Deshaun Watson, we know what he represents in the NFL. And Trevor Lawrence beat him last year in the title game. Who could possibly be the number one draft pick in a year from now? Mm-hmm. So you're not just, you know, and Joe Burrow's obviously, and as Reggie mentioned, he's the Heisman front runner, and he's vaulted himself into a top five player. Mm-hmm. So it's going to come down probably between him and Tua and Herbert. How do you say that? Herbert? Herbert. Skip, but I think the thing is, and the turnovers really hurt Alabama because Tua fumbles the ball. You lose three. At the worst case, you lose three. They go down and get seven. Mm-hmm. So from three, you get nothing. Now they get seven. And Skip, that 14-point swing in 20 seconds right before the end of the half with a little bit more that they can overcome. But you see what the AP did. They only dropped them to four. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting, yeah. Skip, because if they went out, they beat Auburn. Auburn beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. So which would you rather have make the college football playoff, Skip? Pac-12 winner in Oregon or a Pac-1 lost team in mm-hmm. Oklahoma lost to K-State? Because mm-hmm. I can tell you, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. If Alabama wins out, sitting there with one loss, yeah. It's on and popping again.
Shannon, it is over for Alabama.
Okay.
If you give up 46 in Tuscaloosa, I don't care whether it's to Joe Burrow or Burrow.
You gave up 40 plus to K-State. Now, which is better, LSU or K-State?
I thought we were talking about Alabama.
I'm just saying, well, I was a college football player. Jenny asked the question. Well, Jenny, what was the question?
At home, 46.
Well, it was what the game told you, so you could take a lot from that.
Wait, you gave up 33 in the first half at home, mm-hmm. and you're trailing 33-13? And the great Paul Feinbaum at ESPN wrote, uh-huh. I think this was a tweet, Nick Saban has been schooled in his last two consequential games. Not a good look for the GOAT. What do I always tell you? Saint Nick. Ain't Nick. A couple of more stats for you. Shall we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Alabama's given up 450 yards or more 15 times under Nick Saban. Not all that bad, except six of those games have come since last December. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. So the quarterbacks of the past five ranked opponents to face Alabama have combined for nearly 2,000 yards passing, 15 total touchdowns, and no interceptions while completing 63% of their passes. Yeah. Anybody who can throw it pretty to very well from the pocket,
yeah.
they are going to pick you to pieces.
Right.
And then that little Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, he was a workhorse.
God.
Yeah. He was a workhorse.
Did he not shred them?
He did.
In every way, shape, and form, he scored four touchdowns?
Well, late in the ball game, Skip, what they tried to do instead of tackling, they got to try to take the ball away.
Try to take the ball away.
See, you can't do a situation like that. You see the way he's built. He's kind of more Darren Sproles.
Yes, exactly.
That was a good
He reminds me exactly of Darren Sproles.
Yep. And the thing is, you're trying to pull the ball away, and the next thing you know, not only does you didn't get the ball, he's standing in the end zone celebrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, Skip, but look
it's here. Over. If you give up 46, you're disqualified.
Stop it.
You can't do it.
Okay.
You're out.
That was the ninth time in 10 seasons in which he's given up 35
mm-hmm.
or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's tied for the fewest in college football in a decade.
Okay.
Yeah.
If everybody's jumping off the cliff, should you also jump off the cliff?
I'm just
telling me, right?
At some point in time, all those that, you know, you keep losing that pipeline. Mm. All these guys keep going, and he still has them there. But the thing is, but the question's going to come down, Skip. They went out. They beat Auburn in the Auburn in the Iron Bowl mm-hmm. in Auburn.
Yeah. Okay.
Auburn beat Oregon. Oregon has one loss. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma lost to K-State. So who has the more compelling one-loss team?
Are you giving Oklahoma any shot at this? You keep bringing up Oklahoma. I'm like, thank you.
But you're looking at the
They shouldn't even be in this conversation.
I believe it's going to be LSU. If LSU whole serves, I believe LSU, no-brainer. Clemson, ain't nobody touching them in Ohio State.
Okay.
So now it's going to come down to one-loss Oklahoma, one-loss Oregon, one-loss Alabama.
Yeah.
So who do you think would be more deserving?
It's going to be tougher for a Pac-12 one-loss team to get in because of strength of schedule, right? For Oregon, the one loss to
Auburn
at the time,
it's tough.
They were the fourth-ranked team mm-hmm. in the SEC at the time when they lost to them. And so that's going to make it tough for a one-loss team from the Pac-12 to get in over a Big Ten one-loss or a SEC one-loss team like we're talking about right now.
Because it might be Penn State. You know, Penn State has one loss.
Yeah.
They lost to me. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
You really could have Oklahoma, who's a blue blood, with one loss, and they're on the outside looking in, because that loss to K-State skill was horrible. Mm.
Baker lost at home to Iowa State as a 31-point favorite and won the Heisman and got into the Final Four.
Yeah, but it was okay. Too long. But see, they came back. They came back. But it was a two-loss team. They ain't getting in over the one loss. Huh. Because that one loss happened to be Bama. Yeah, that happened to be Bama. Mm.
What are you talking about?
How you going to have the Invitational without the host team? Mm. The Alabama Invitational to the college football playoff.
You're living in the past.
No, I'm living right now.
This is the present.
You're a hater.
Any team that gives up 46.
You're a hater.
At least Oklahoma gave up 48 in Manhattan, you know?
At least. Really? I don't know really? If I can tell you
better. To K-State. Yeah. Really, to K-State.
I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed.
This is why week in and week out, you know, we talk about on our show about they got to expand the college football playoff system. Oh, got to have more teams.
And you should have lost. Son, you should have lost Saturday.
It was close.
Oklahoma?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You kicked the PAT. Yeah. You don't go for two. Right. The kid, you got him. You had figured him out. You got him dead to right. Take it to overtime.
Oh, now you're paying attention.
You don't do that.
We tackled the receiver in the end zone. You did. Two-point throw. So we got away with
it. They got to keep it interesting because they know a two-loss
Big
12 team ain't going nowhere. Even if you win the conference.
Oklahoma has a better quarterback than Alabama.
Just stop playing.
I know.
Jalen, right now, 15-1 odds to win the Heisman.
You know I'm right about that.
Skip.
I'll take my quarterback, who used to be your quarterback, over your quarterback.
Skip.
Right?
Skip. We need a lot more time. Skip.
That man got 32-3. That man got like 30 touchdowns with three picks. You talking about he better?
We need a lot more time.
Really?
That
my guy
guys.
Can really run it.
And Judy dropped the 70-yarder. No mercy.
After 8-2 and 8 start to the season, New York Knicks president Steve Mills said he and GM Scott Perry were not happy with where the team is right now. There are also reports that the organization is preparing to fire head coach David Fizdale. And the one and only Michael Rappaport is now joining us.
Oh,
I don't know.
Sit back, get out of the way.
I'm a little worried about this. What is going on with the Knicks?
Glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. Timing, it's just the timing. I was scheduled to be here weeks ago. I want to say this. Steve Mills, I'm done with you, okay?
GM president, sort of.
I'm done with you, Steve Mills. Yep. I have so much to say about this guy. Steve Mills, your record as a president, as a GM, as the basketball mind of my New York Knicks, I'm done with this guy, Steve Mills. Yahoo, clown. His record, 165 wins, 337 losses.
Yikes.
Steve Mills, let me tell you something. Isn't there a leaky faucet that Dolan needs to be fixed? Or maybe it's time to, like, walk the dogs or, I don't know, drive him somewhere. What is your skill set, Steve Mills? What does this guy do? Through all the coaches, the Lenny Wilkins, the Kurt Rambis was the coach of the New York Knicks during my 10-year residency coming on this show. Derek Fisher, the Lenny Wilkins, the Herb Williams was the coach of the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Mike Woodson, the Phil Jackson debacle, the Mike D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. Steve Mills has been there. So we've changed coaches, we've changed GMs. Steve Mills is with GM. He's a basketball president. And we've had personnel players. We've had the Carmelo and all this. But Steve Mills remains there. Okay, we're 2-8. We should not get blown out by Sacramento. We should not get blown out on a Sunday, okay? I shouldn't have to turn the channel to the New York Knicks, okay, during Sunday night football. And like, it's like a car accident. Like, we're down 33 points on a Sunday. It's a Sunday. I'm trying. This is the day of rest. Mm-hmm. It's my wife's 50th birthday. Oh. I shouldn't have to, like it's like a car accident. And through all that, you got Steve Mills. He's the consistency. Him and Dolan. Dolan's not going to sell this team. I want Steve Mills fired. He's a problem. Okay? And when we're 2-8, Fizdale's a big boy. Fizdale, he's got moxie. He's tough. He's been through it all. He was tenured by the great Pat Riley. He was there with the Miami Heat guys. Mm-hmm. He don't need you two, Scott Perry and Steve Mills, sniffing around. And Steve Mills, he's got no bass in his voice. Why are you out there for a press conference? Did Daddy Dolan tell you to come out there? what are you doing out there? We're 2-8. You know, Fizdale could take it on the chin. If you fire David Fizdale, if they fire him, And I'm not saying that they're not perfect. We've had the things with the Dennis Smith and all this. If you fired David Fizdale, I am ordering. I am begging. And this myth that the fans that show up to the Knicks game are not New York Knicks fans, maybe down there in the boxes in the below, any section up, these are family people. These are hardworking New York people from the boroughs, from Jersey, from Bronx, from Staten Island. They pay their money to come see it. Go to see Hamilton on Broadway. Go to see Wicked. Netflix and chill. Stop going to the
games. Atypical.
Atypical. Watch Atypical Season 3 streaming right now. Do something. We need to stop going to the games and supporting these guys. Once again, Forbes put the New York Knicks as the most, you know, the lucrative franchise in all of sports. Enough is enough. If Dolan's not going to sell the team, we should, instead of talking about Fizdale, get rid of this clown, Steve Mills. I want to know this. Okay, I'm going to throw it back to you guys. If Steve Mills got fired by the New York Knicks, would he ever have another job in the NBA? No! Because he has no basketball skill set.
And to follow that up, Skip, I just don't know what they think David Fizdale. Did they think Julius Randle? So you miss out on Kyrie.
Think of what you're saying. The whole offseason, I thought you were going to get Durant and Kyrie.
And we were also getting Zion. That's what the meme said. Right.
To this.
To Julius Randle.
I saw the memes. Didn't you see the memes? I saw they all had on blue jerseys.
So Fizdale is not the problem in New York.
He is not the problem. And I still have high regard. He is the best thing you have going.
Yep.
The players like him. They respect him. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now to your other favorite team, the Lakers. What have you seen so far?
They're a good team.
There you go.
They're a good team.
Turn around.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, Shay. Don't get too close because I got the 37-inch. Let me tell you something, Shay. Again, just like the Knicks being 2-8 and your Lakers are what? Are they
7-2.
7-2 and all that stuff. I blame, because I'm going to be honest, you guys are sports veterans, okay? I blame Lonzo Ball for all this because traditionally, up until this season, we never, even the most staunch NBA fan, we never got excited about 7-2. Obviously, 2-8 is not fun, but to get all crazy about the records this early, the Phoenix Suns last year, come like, you know, December, the Clippers were the best record in the West. Let me tell you something. Your team looks good. Your guy LeBron James, he looks fantastic. And I will say this. I am with you on the LeBron Kawhi thing in terms of the sitting out, the load management, and all that stuff. I respect the fact that LeBron is ground and pound. But I'm going to tell you something, Shay. Okay, I'm here, my man Drip. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't winning any championship. And earlier, I heard you scream on this man and say he's never going to be LeBron James about Kawhi. He don't need to. Maybe that's not the answer to be 3-6. Maybe that's not the pinnacle to be LeBron James. Because Kawhi Leonard, he's got two championships. He's got two MVPs. They beat them once. They're going to beat them again. You guys ain't winning the championship.
He has won as the guy.
He wasn't the guy.
No, Tim Duncan them was. And Manu. And Tony Parker.
Well, he was the MVP.
He was the MVP.
He was a little baby. He wasn't even shaving.
How about this here? When he wins a regular season MVP, talk to your boy.
Who was the regular season MVP last year? Who was it? James Harden?
No, Giannis.
Okay, Giannis. And who was before? James Harden?
Yeah.
Okay, who cares? They got jewelry? Not jewelry.
LeBron ain't got no jewelry?
No, I'm saying, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say LeBron is not great, but you act like being like LeBron is not like being like Mike.
Kawhi ain't ever going to pass LeBron.
Who cares?
Ever. You
care.
He didn't
have more rings than him.
So, Robert Horry got more rings.
Yo, but he ain't the guy. Kawhi Leonard will end up with more rings than LeBron James.
And he still ain't going to be. And Kawhi Leonard gonna be the guy.
At the end of the season this year, okay, so when the Clippers knock down the Los Angeles Lakers, barring everybody stays healthy, are you going to say? The Clippers are going to beat. Everybody stays healthy. They're going to beat the Lakers. You guys
know we don't need no caveat. I don't need no caveat. Lakers are going to the finals. We winning the chip.
No, they ain't. Oh, my God.
Just like that.
Please, I'm asking right now. Book me right now for that day. Okay. If I don't get booked, I'm just coming. I'm showing up. Yeah, I'm showing up.
We'll let you
You ain't got to show up, because we're going to bring the show to your house.
Please do.
Bring it to your house.
You're not winning any. They're a good team. He looks great. LeBron looks great. He's got a chip on his shoulder. The Dwight Howard thing. I came on this show in the summer, and I said that was a good thing.
I like it.
JaVale, I've always been a fan of JaVale. I don't think the Warriors should have ever let him go. Anthony Davis is doing Anthony Davis. LeBron, he had that weird thing with his hair. I don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, you did.
I don't want to go down that road. Oh. It was weird, because the guys, you rock that do-rag. You want to keep those waves.
Yeah.
Why is this man rocking a do-rag all the time? There's no waves, my man.
Keep his hair padded down.
Okay, but I'm just saying that, listen, Shannon, you guys are winning the championship.
You're a hater.
I just complimented the guy. I think right now.
How you gonna compliment the guy? You're a Lakers fan. Talk about we're not gonna win
this. I'm not a Lakers fan. You're not winning a championship. Kawhi Leonard will wind up ending his career with more rings than LeBron James. I'll make a long-term bet on you on that. Like you say,
he's bet. Never.
And we're gonna have more rings than the Knicks.
Okay, we talked about the Knicks. I'm just saying, you say he's never going to be LeBron, but he'll be Kawhi.
He will never be thought of as a better player. He could have 15 rings. He'll never be thought of as a better player than LeBron James.
I agree with you
on that. Fact or fiction?
I agree with you on that, but maybe that being LeBron James isn't the best thing.
I said he will never be thought of. He will never be thought of as a better player than LeBron James.
I think that he will never be thought of as a dynamic individual player.
A better player.
But I think at the end of the year,
Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
He'll have a better career.
Right now.
He'll have a better career because those rings and things.
The best player in Los Angeles right now is Kawhi.
No, he's not.
You know what I love?
Did you see Kawhi last night?
You know what I love the most? Wait a second. Do you realize this man, Kawhi Leonard, had an option in the offseason coming into July? He could have just stacked that Laker deck. He could have said, you know what? I give up. I give in. I want to win 3 more chips with LeBron and AD at the other side, in the other locker room at Staples.
Right.
And you know what he said? No.
No.
No. I'm going to leave you guys high and dry. I'm going to bamboozle you right up to the deadline.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sign with the other team. And I'm going to take you on in your house.
In your crib.
And I'm going to dethrone you in your
you
own
in the basement.
Crib.
In the crib.
You Igor.
And I'm going to have
you
the
Igor, you in the basement.
Audacity.
It's in a trip.
I'm going to have the audacity on opening night to let my New Balance commercial drop, in which I got a little, remember the crown dangling from the keychain?
In the crib.
I'm the king of this.
In the
and
crib.
It says Kawhi Town.
Scared of Kawhi. Yep. Scared of
you. You like those New Balance? Mm.
I like New Balance. Mm. I'm New Balance king.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yep.
I'm New Balance king.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
Yeah, for years I ran together. In New Balance.
I rock them.
They're a great jogging shoe. Like to walk around, I'll rock them with some, you know, with some Lululemon, some athleisure. But I ain't wearing no hooping in them.
Oh, as far as dope sneakers, LeBron James is at the bottom of Nike sneakers being the
actually, it's number two behind Jordan.
I don't care about the selling.
It's number two behind Jordan.
I don't care about the selling. Nobody's rocking LeBron James sneakers out like in the real world. Them joints are.
So who buying them?
They look questionable.
So how did they get to be number two? If nobody buying them, how did they get to be number two behind Jordan? Bigger than Kyrie's, bigger than Steph Curry, bigger than KD, bigger than James Harden, bigger than Dame Lillard.
Go to the top. Bigger than MJ?
I said it was number two behind Jordan.
Maybe a lot of people in China. I'm going to move forward.
Whatever.
I'm going to move forward. The thing is this, okay? Your guy, he's great. I'm surprised that he looks sprightly and all that stuff. At the end of the year, when you bring this show, undisputed, the best in the business, by the way.
Mm.
The best
Thank
in the
you.
Business, by the
Thank
way.
You.
To my crib. When your guys are either bumped out of the Western Conference Finals or maybe even early, you might not win a playoff. You might not win a playoff
Stop
series.
Playing.
Okay.
I'm coming. Put my feet up on your coffee table just like this here. Yep.
I can't wait to see
I'd like to see this.
It's the most beautiful
Will you be
time
wearing socks or no socks?
No socks. With my Laker jersey. With as a matter of fact, I might get LeBron to come with me.
Yo, bring him. And I'm gonna tell you something. When he's on an early summer vacation, he's scratching his head. You know he's going to shave his hair again. By the way, I'm going to say this. He looked good with the shaved head after the Warriors. Mm-hmm. When they, what was it, 3-1 or 4-1? He was confused. He should just rock that. You should tell
Don't worry about that man.
Okay, but
it's hard to let go of good things sometimes.
Shay, it's over.
It ain't over.
It is over. I don't care about
7-2.
You're gonna lose to Phoenix, and I'm gonna take that gold mask and I'm gonna burn it in front of you.
He'll probably come back.
Why you hate the gold mask?
I like the gold mask.
Go, Jay. No mercy.
Jared Goff signed a $134 million extension in the offseason that included a record $110 million in guaranteed money. In an article by Jarrett Bell of USA Today, the question was asked whether Goff's extension has been a bust. The QB had no touchdowns and two interceptions in their loss to the Steelers on Sunday. On the season, Goff has only 11 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, and the defending NFC champ Rams currently sit at third in their own division at 5-4. So, Shannon, does Goff deserve most of the blame?
He does, Skip. He's regressed. And I think it started the last month of the season last year when Todd Gurley came up with this injury. They were third in rushing last year. They're 20th this year. And he works best when he has a running game. And when he does not have a running game, and there are some quarterbacks, Skip, if they don't have a running game, they can throw you to victory. Mm. He's not there yet. And I don't know if he's going to get there because he looks like a totally different player now that they can't run the football with conviction like they once could. Mm. And that offensive line, now I don't know what happened, Skip, but you talk about looking like they got old overnight. His offensive line looked bad. Mm. They can't protect him. They don't open holes for Gurley. And Gurley, and a part of this, a reporter asked Gurley, are you surprised you didn't play much in the fourth quarter? He's like, nah, I'm used to it now. Mm. And therein lies the problem. Now, something is going on, and I said, look, this is something's not right, Skip. You don't have a guy. And Todd Gurley last year, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, I think he was voted in the players poll NFL Network had. I think he was the 5th or 6th rated player in all the NFL.
Wow.
Now, you go from what he did in the regular season. Now, he missed the last 3 weeks. They brought C.J. Anderson in. Okay, he had that monster game against the Cowboys in the opening round, and then they are
CJ had even bigger,
right? And it's and then you play against New Orleans in the championship game, and you get 5-6 carries, mm-hmm. and then you play in the Super Bowl,
yep.
with all the marbles on the table, all the money chip pushed to the middle, and you get 5 or 6 more carries. So we knew something was wrong. Something is going on, Skip, because he's not the workhorse back. Why wouldn't he be when he's the second highest paid running back in football? But to take it back to Jared Goff, Skip, he's regressed. He deserves the lion's share of the blame. And what has happened also is that what happened in college, Skip, when the coordinator tells you, okay, throw it here, the guy's normally going to be open. If you remember, Skip, Todd McVay is in his ear.
Uh-huh.
Okay, such and such is going to be open. What happens when that player is not open?
Hmm.
And he has to go, one's not there, and he has to go 2 to 3.
Hmm.
He's struggling to transition from getting off 1 to going to 2 and 3. And because they can't run the football, all that laundry is in his lap and is piling up faster than he can wash it.
True. So, what have I told you from the start? That Jerry Jones is being forced to overpay because the Rams overpaid Todd Gurley first.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's hurt. I'm not saying he's not worthy of the money and talent.
Right.
But then they way overpaid Jared Goff to me. And they're going to have to live with that, while Jerry's going to maybe have to overpay Dak Prescott on market value. But I've also told you from the start, Dak Prescott is better than Jared Goff.
Okay.
And again, we got a 4th rounder versus the 1st overall pick.
Right.
But the 4th rounder has proven at every turn to be a little to a lot better than Jared Goff. And I'm not ready to dismiss Jared Goff as a bust. He's just a little better than average to me. And I do think last year he was in large part a product of the wizard, the boy genius that was Sean McVay. And all of a sudden, that has been exposed because the offensive line has turned into a shambles.
Right.
And it happened overnight.
It turned into a turnstile.
And now they've shipped guys out and they've replaced. And all of a sudden, they can't protect. They can't run it. They can't do much of anything. And they got held to 12 points at Pittsburgh.
Right.
12
averaging
points?
They were averaging 27.
Wow.
Now, Pittsburgh has gotten better defensively. I think the addition of Minkah Fitzpatrick, Skip, he's tossed his hat into the Defensive Player of the Year discussion.
Well, I also told you before the year, I love this Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah.
If Roethlisberger could have been healthy,
right.
I'm still not sold on Mason Rudolph. No. I like you are. I don't see it, but whatever.
He's doing a great job of whatever they're asking him to do.
Yeah.
They've been able to run the ball just enough to keep teams honest.
Well, we're going to see him at Cleveland on Thursday night. Yeah. We'll see.
Short week. We'll see what that happens.
Okay.
But, Skip, I mean, you have to ask yourself, $110 million guaranteed, $134 million total contract. That's a lot of money.
Okay.
And when you play a guy that kind of money, if the running game's not there, you expect him to be able to throw you to the destination you need to get.
Okay.
And the questions they're going to have to ask themselves moving forward, if Todd Gurley can't ever be the guy that he once was, do you believe Jared Goff can take you where you need to be?
All right. Now to the Rams' defense, or lack thereof. They gave up 55 points at home to Tampa Bay. 55 points. They got dominated by the 49ers here at the Coliseum in L.A. They have given up the 15th most points in all of pro football, and yet they have what you say is by far not only the best player on defense, the best player in all of football on that defense is obviously Aaron Donald, and yet they're 15th in points allowed. I can't put those two together.
They don't go together.
Okay.
And that's disappointing because you look at the first rounders they got on the defensive line. Clay Matthews, yes, Skip, he's a little long in the tooth, but he still can rush the pass a little bit. He was a first rounder. Aaron Donald was a first rounder. Brockers was a first rounder. Fowler was a first rounder. They're loaded with first rounders up there.
And they got Jalen Ramsey.
Yes, first now rounder. What?
Okay.
And
be the big move.
It's not something is not computing.
Nope. What is not computing? I love Wade Phillips. You played for Wade Phillips.
I played 2 years. He was my defensive coordinator my first 3 years in the league.
Something is not clicking. Is it just the Super Bowl loser syndrome where you come back the next year and you just can't get right? You just can't get it back?
But my thing is, Skip, it seems like you would be even hungrier. Mm-hmm. Getting so close, almost getting the drink from the cup, and you're right there. And like, man, I'm doing everything I possibly can, but I can't, you know, with the exception of Buffalo done it, New England's done it. But seems like when you lose that game, it's like just like everything is lost.
Mm. All of a sudden, they have gone from dominant to getting dominated.
Yeah. And everybody wanted that guy, Sean McVay tree.
I know.
Matt LaFleur and all these guys were getting jobs. They're like,
It's not looking so hot anymore.
No.
You know what? I'll take the Cowboys 5-4 over the Rams.
I was
going to
bring up that same record, 3-0 start.
Thank you.
Lost four of the past six.
Yep.
It's similar.
Yeah. And they're not careful, but well, I know one for sure. I feel very comfortable saying one for sure will not make the playoffs. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Sports, one of one.